Amen. It is so good to see each of you tonight, and the crowd looks a little slim tonight, but it is so good to be here, good to see each of you. Have a lot to be in prayer about tonight, and I'm a little sleepy-eyed, I guess. I don't know what's going on. My eyes are kind of blurry. I feel a little better talking to Brother Nathan, though. He's talking about how this week feels like it's been full blast, and it has. I mean, it just seems like everything's work taking off and everything, I guess getting ready for summer and the changes that are going on there and everything, but praying for good changes and all those kind of things. But again, it's a needful time of prayer. I've been thinking about revival and things like that and just the different objects that we have. And I woke up with a certain kind of thought on my mind, I guess a word on my mind this morning. That's kind of what I want to teach or preach on tonight. But if you'd like to, you can turn to Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37. Probably won't be too lengthy and focus more so on prayer time again. And I spoke with Brother Ben a little earlier today, and he's been a little under the weather. And so we're trying to, as far as I know, it's plans as usual, but in talking with him, he's kind of waiting to hear back from the surgeon to see if they're actually going to follow through with it on Friday or not due to him being sick. But just kind of waiting to hear back. He said he'd let me know as soon as possible kind of what was going on. So just wanted to share that with you. Also, but Psalm 37, I'm just going to look at one verse here, and we'll kind of be in different places, a couple of different places, but Psalm 37, verse 4, I'd say everybody here has heard this verse before, heard it preached on, taught on, read it, maybe have it memorized. But it says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And I woke up this morning just thinking about preparing for church and what have you for tonight, and just getting my thoughts together and everything. And that word desire, it just kind of came to my mind. Kind of came to my heart, and it just thinking about what do I desire most? What would you say you desire most tonight? That might be something that changes based off of need or based off of circumstances and things like that. But that word desire just really kind of settled with me in my heart this morning. Been thinking about it all day. You know, what we desire would probably kind of dictate what we do, how we do, how we act, all those kind of things maybe, and probably where we would spend a lot of our time, if not most of our time. As a child, I remember maybe if it was that toy or something, and I'd get a fixated on that, my heart set on something. You know, you think about how bad you want that thing or what have you, and you're just kind of desirous of that thing. And the word desire actually means a passion excited by the love of an object or uneasiness at the want of it and directed to its attainment or possession. It's something that you see in your mind, you envision that you want it, you envision that you need it. You know, the way things are set up now, with the way sales run, it's always been this way, but people just promote things to you in such a way that you have to have this. If you don't have it, you have to have this, or you just can't live without it. You just can't function. And you know, some people are really easily pulled to and fro with that being in mind. It's an easy thing to kind of get pulled into. If you like to collect things or think about things that you like to use or whatever, whether it be tools or just whatever that thing might be, you say, you know, I really need this thing. I didn't know I needed it till this person told me I needed it. I didn't even know it existed till this person told me I needed it. But, you know, tonight I really want us to focus on how our desires should be framed, where they should come from, how it should be set up. And I really think that's going to be a help to us tonight in thinking about, again, just our life in general. And thinking about preparing for revival and just having our hearts where they're supposed to be, I think this will help us tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you tonight just thankful for this time together. I'm so thankful, Lord, for each of those who are able to be here tonight, and praying for those who are not able to be here. God, just so much on our heart right now with friends and family within the church and outside the church. Just many things that are going on. But God, I just pray for your touch tonight on the lesson, on this message, God, about desire. And Lord, help us, God, to pull away from your word what we should about this tonight, how our hearts should be, how our desire should be framed and set upon you, God, you first. Lord, just help us here tonight. Lord, be with the lost people in our church. So many to be in prayer for, just so many different burdens and objects, God. Lord, I pray and ask that you help me, God, my heart, my mind, and my mouth, Lord, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In asking you that question, your mind may have gone somewhere. It may have gone to, in asking what you desire most tonight, it may have gone to a physical object, but probably, for the most part, it may have gone to something relating to your children or to somebody else or a spiritual need or something like that in your life. And so I wanted to look at this to kind of see what the first mention in the Bible would be of this word. I'm always interested to kind of see where that leads a study to go to. And I tell you, church, it really framed things very interesting to me. The first mention of the word desire in the Word of God, a lot of these first mentions you'll find in Genesis. And this is no different, but in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, I thought it was interesting how this came to be, the first mention. It says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Now that's kind of interesting to think that that's the first mention, and how could you really get anything, you know, you say positive out of that, because it's a bad or a negative situation in which it happened. You think back to the fall of the human race, you think about sin, you think about how Satan came in and just started talking to Eve and deceived her, beguiled her, is what the Word of God says. You know, it's kind of, he gave her a sales pitch, did he not? About knowledge. You know, yea, hath God said that you shall not eat of every tree. Hath God said that? Because, well, if he said that, it's only because he knows that you'll be like him. You'll have the knowledge that he has. You'll have that ability, and he don't want you to have that. And so you think about how our minds work. Our minds go into a frame of, well, we want what we can't have sometimes. And then we want this power, we want this knowledge. And you think about how that came together and how that worked out. But afterwards, God framed it in such a way that instead of, I guess the way that it was, if you look at it, instead of you know, husband and wife being together the way it was, I guess maybe husband and wife independently, worshiping God, looking straight to God, that was a different time period than what we have today. But he framed things in a different way. He's saying now there's going to be sorrow. There's going to be great pain in conception. You think about childbirth, and ladies, you understand what is being talking about there, our mothers tonight. But in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. He directed her desire to her husband. You and I would think today, well, should it not be there already? Well, yeah, you think about it, but look back to the why. Look why this came to be. You think about how she was beguiled and now needing some guidance or help. Not that Adam is perfect, but that's the way God framed it to be. You look how the husband is supposed to take care of the wife. It says here, rule over thee, but to take care of her and look after her so she wouldn't be beguiled again. She wouldn't be set to give into a wrong desire or a bad desire. And I don't say that at all in any kind of way to try to put the husband on a pedestal at all, but I want you to see the typology that is given. I like the way John says it in John chapter number 3. He puts things kind of in a perspective in talking about this, and him being the friend of the bridegroom. He talks about Jesus Christ being the bridegroom. You see, it puts it in perspective. When you see the typology, the typology that we have in the Bible most often is something that's relatable to you and me that we can see and understand. So when we think about the church, we've talked about this a whole lot in our Sunday school class, talking about marriage and counseling and marriage and things, how that relationship is supposed to be. It is Jesus himself as the bridegroom and you and I as the bride. You and I are needy. We need somebody to look after us. We need somebody to help us and to take care of us. And that is how the Word of God frames this relationship. John 3:29, and it says here, "And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom." He's talking about Jesus himself, but the friend of the bridegroom, John talking about he himself, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore is fulfilled. He gives us here the typology. You see the typology with the church, us being the bride. Jesus is going to return and come and get his bride. And as you see this here, the desire of the wife, of the bride, is supposed to be to her husband. So you see the typology that is given here, the desire of the church is supposed to be who? The bridegroom, Jesus Christ. You think that's kind of easy to frame, but it's biblical. It's Bible. So often we get the desires of our heart and our mind and things we see and things that we look at, and we spend a lot of our time thinking on those things, spending our time in want. And I know as a young person, I remember many times if I was in church and there's an event going on or something like that, it was hard for me to not think about that while I was in church. And I'd get fixated on those things, the places where I wanted to go or things I wanted to do, be with friends, whatever, anything to keep your mind off of what it really needed to be on. But you think about a desire, that's something that you really want. You want to see happen, or something that you really, really want. And so as you see this being framed here in Psalm, it actually gives you the direction of how to do that. It's really straightforward. It says here, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee what your heart desires." I like to say it backwards sometimes to see if everybody's listening. Boy, you can do a lot of things with words. For years, reading that fast, I thought, well, my goodness, how come everything isn't just happening the way I want it to happen? Why am I not happy all the time? Why are things seeming like it's the opposite of what God wants? If the Bible says this and puts these things together, but you say, what do you mean? But you look at delight very close to the word rejoice. We talked about rejoice last week. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice always. Rejoice always in the Lord. Delight is a high degree of pleasure. That's an excitement. Again, I want to ask you, when's the last time you felt just a high degree of delight in the Lord? A high degree of pleasure in the Lord. It kind of directs us back that way. It kind of makes us redirect and think about the Lord himself. But it says, to delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. So that kind of makes you put him first again, doesn't it? Makes you think about him first, again, in everything we're supposed to. If you really focus on him, some things, and now I'm not saying it would be easy, but if you really think about it, if you put your delight, if you're excited about the things of God, you are fixated on him, he has a way of making our hearts desire the things that he wants us to desire. That's how he wants us to line up. You and me as people, as humans, in the flesh, with our minds, you have the devil, you have the flesh, and you have those things just working. It is easy to not be fixated on the Lord. It's so easy not to do that. It's easier not to be fixated on him, even as a child of God. I think there, again, it takes a desire to want to be close to the Lord. It takes something on our behalf, on our part. Marriages just don't happen, do they? Married people, marriages just don't happen. Good friend of mine, before I got married, he came to me at the police department we're talking about, and he said, I want to give you some advice. He said, you know, people will tell you it's a 50-50 arrangement. You bring 50% to the table, and she brings 50% to the table, and he said, I want to tell you that's wrong. That's not how it works. You both are going to have to bring 100%, and sometimes you're going to have to bring a little bit more because you're not always going to be 100%. She's not either. You got to bring that in, and you see, that brings that relationship so much closer. That's how we should be with the Lord. Our thinking about our delighting in him. I want to spend more time thinking about that. Just loving him for who he is and what he's already done. Not trying to be complaining or anything like that, but just loving Him for who He is and what He's already done for us. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. He will make your heart align with what He wants for you in your life. How many of you pray for the will of God in your life? I think this is a very strong way to get to that point. I'll be honest. I'm just going to be honest with you. If we're really going to get help, we have to be honest. There's times that I've been praying, or let's say more so probably talking to the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, I'd really like to see this happen. Or, Lord, I'd like to approach this way. In the back of my mind, knowing that He's probably not going to approach it that way. But, you know, Lord, I kind of still want it that way. And that's not delighting in Him. That's arguing with the Lord. That's trying to get your way. That's trying to get Him to do things the way you want Him to. But see, the way the Word of God lines this up, it says you seek Him out first, you delight in Him, and then He will direct your hearts the way that it's supposed to be. How many want to be happy? The only way to be happy in the Lord is to follow His lead. Delighting in Him. Think a lot about worship and just following Him and worshiping Him the way that we're supposed to, and not being at enmity with Him, even if it's just on a small scale. I'm not talking about an all-out fight, but I'm just saying our flesh will hold us back from being where we're supposed to be with the Lord a whole lot more than what we would admit to. But again, giving to Him, following Him the way that we're supposed to. I wrote this down this morning. I wrote it here. It said, if we prioritize our happiness in the Lord first, He will prioritize our desires, the things that should matter most to us, the things that should actually just fall off the page and not be a desire at all, and then the things that should be right there at the very top of the page. You know, I think, and we do this, I appreciate how Brother Tim and Sister Sandy do this with our prayer list. You know, that's a priority list. You think about it. Most often you see the lost people right there at the top. That's a priority. That's something that should always be right there at the top. And you know, as life goes on, things kind of go around. Sometimes people get well and they fall lower to the priority list versus somebody else that's fallen sick and maybe has a more serious sickness and thing like that that's going on. But see, that's prioritization. And see, the Lord can prioritize things for us versus us getting that out of whack. If we get out of whack, we're just going to want what we want all the time and be discouraged when we don't get things the way we want them. And that's not where God wants us to be. He's saying, if you'll be happy in Me and you'll follow Me, I'll give you the right desires where your heart can be happy. I know we have a lot of heavy hearts and there's things that come through and then you have to work through those things and it takes time. But the Lord has a way of working those things out for us. If we'll let Him. Let's go to Luke chapter number 10. And I'm going to close right here pretty quick, I think. See how long the Lord takes it. But I've been going through the Bible this year again and heard these scriptures yesterday or maybe this morning. And it's very interesting how the Lord will pull things back out for you. Cause it to come to your remembrance. Luke chapter number 10. Go down to verse number 38. We'll look at verses 38 through 42. And I love reading through the Gospels. I love seeing how the Lord interacted with people. You can see truly how the Spirit was when He was here. But you know, the Spirit still wants to operate in that same manner through us today. Even though He Himself, the Lord, is in heaven, the Holy Spirit is here. He's operating in the same way today on the inside of us. And this was so fitting for what we're talking about here tonight. Verse number 38, it said, now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her home. I'm sure she was excited to have Him there. And you know, I'd say Martha was one that wanted things to be a certain way. I bet if you went in her home, it was clean, it was tidy, it was neat. Things were in place the way that they were supposed to be and all that kind of stuff. And it says here in verse number 39, it said, And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So you have Martha that's up. She's kind of doing some things, but she's kind of noticing where her sister is. Her sister's sitting there with Jesus, just taking everything he's saying in, taking it all in. Said, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And she got on to Jesus. Martha got on to Jesus and said, don't you understand? Don't you see how cumbered down I am with all these things that are going on? I'm trying to make sure all these details are taken care of. I'm trying to make sure all these things are just right. I'd say what we call that type A personality maybe today, something like that. Obsessive, compulsive. Everything has to be just right. And she's cumbered down with this is the words that's, the word that the Word of God uses. Says, but Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was doing all the things. And most often that's what we get tied up in. Doing all the things. If you know how it is. If you're not up doing first job I had, they told me if you have time to lean, you have time to clean. I'm like, okay, that means you stay busy. But you know, there are times in our life, and I think God orchestrates it in such a way that He just wants you to sit down and be quiet and listen. He wants you to hear what He has to say. Martha was doing her things, and it agitated her. It's kind of like this in our house. It's probably like this in a lot of houses. If one is up and doing, everybody else is supposed to be up and doing too. You can't have one sitting there. You know, Brandy will ask me questions. If she's up and doing, she's like, what you going to do today? God, I start asking questions. That's those, you know, subtle hints like, get up and do something. Get up and do something. So I think that's what Martha was doing here. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Do you not care, Lord, that I'm doing all this work and she's just sitting there? Bid her, therefore, to come and help me. Tell her to get up and help me. You can talk to her while we're cleaning the kitchen, while we're moving through the house. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now who could raise their hand tonight and say, I'm troubled about many things? How many people? I know several. You know, there are so many. For every object of prayer that is mentioned, I couldn't even number how many unmentioned are in the church. And they don't have to be mentioned, but they're there and they're being prayed for. And she's troubled about so many things, worried about so many things, but this is such a unique response. Look at verse number 42 and think about this. When you think about delighting yourself in the Lord and Him giving you the desires of your heart, this is, I think, a good illustration of that. Martha, you're troubled about so many things, but one thing is needful. But there's one thing that you need to do. See, the Lord brought it down to one thing. You're worried about all this stuff, all these things that's going on in your life that you think is most important, that you have prioritized to be most important, but one thing is needful. Just one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. What do you think the good part is? Where was she at? What was she doing? You think about where she placed herself. There's another place in the Word of God that talks about it. I couldn't quote it, but it talks about how these other folks are just being critical of things that's going on in life. But Mary herself, she would not get up from the Lord, wiping His feet with her hair, with her tears. What was the most important thing to her? What was the good part to Mary? What was the good part to her? But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You see, I believe, church, honestly, I believe with all my heart, that's what that looks like if you delight in the Lord first. Yeah, I'm sure that she was a worker. I'm sure she was a doer. But in that moment, in that time, the most important thing for her is to be right there with the Lord. And I think with us, I think sometimes if we could look through that lens of what is actually most important, sometimes it's just getting away from all the doing and just being right there where the Lord wants us to be with Him, listening. Listening to what He has to say. But again, I'll stop there tonight. I'd rather spend more time in prayer and focusing on those things. But think about that. Go back and kind of study and look through those circumstances and how people responded to the Lord. But we do have much to be in prayer for tonight. I wonder